Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
You don't have to do that. It is right here. It is right now. How you doing today, Brandon Stokely?
I'm doing great. Doing great over here. What's going on?
Oh, man, it's Thursday. And smell that weekend. I haven't had a day off in a while.
Yes, it's last Friday. You almost have made it a week.
Oh, my gosh. I am fired.
No,
up
we got Monday to, off. To what be, am I saying?
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, we got Monday off also.
Friday and Monday off.
Yeah, you do. You do. You do.
Oh, my goodness. Been in the trenches. Happy Thursday to you. Doing all right over there?
Oh, yeah, doing great. Doing great. Weather's holding up. We haven't got a bunch of snow, and weekend looks okay. We got some football on the horizon, a couple of good games, and
I can't wait, man.
Everything's good.
I cannot wait to watch those two games on Sunday. They are awesome matchups. The teams are terrific. The quarterbacks are terrific. The coaches are terrific. They are, a couple awesome, brands in terms of Brady and the Packers, and you got the up and coming Bills, the reigning world champion Chiefs. How will you watch on Sunday?
Just normal. Okay. In the basement.
Okay.
Normal.
I saw.
You got your brother coming
in. Yeah, I got my brother and sister-in-law coming in for the weekend. Looking forward to that.
Dry weekend, huh?
No, it's at my house this time.
Oh, you make the rules this time.
That's right. That's right.
Good for you, buddy. Good for you.
You are such a doofus. It's like my mom said, my roof, my rules,
that's
right?
That's right. That's right. Popping bottles.
So I'm really looking forward to it. And, I saw a question on the, screen on ESPN on our big screens there in our like common room here, at the Fan. And the question on the screen was, if you had to win one game, which quarterback that will be playing this weekend would you choose?
Ooh. And everything else is equal.
Yeah, like you have the same setup. Right. It's not like it's
Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill versus Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams,
right. Yeah. If all things are equal, that's
right
a good
now,
differentiation.
Right now, as we sit in 2021. Today.
Yeah, as we sit today, the game's tonight.
Right. I'm taking Aaron Rodgers.
Taking Aaron Rodgers.
I'm taking Aaron Rodgers. You sound like you're shocked.
No.
Like that was a bad pick or something.
No.
I don't think
there is a bad pick. I think the one pick that you probably wouldn't make is Josh Allen right now just because you haven't seen enough. But even then you could, you wouldn't sound like an idiot, I don't think, to me.
They're all been great. So,
right.
I mean, yeah.
He's probably going to finish third in the MVP, right. Josh Allen. But he's probably on the outside looking in, at least for me.
Because he hasn't been there. All the other guys have won Super Bowls.
Right.
He has never been to an AFC championship game, so it's kind of hard to, pick him. He's the youngster of the group.
That's right. And how about that? What you just said. I it's not like I didn't know this, but sometimes it takes someone just saying it simply for it to resonate. The three of these quarterbacks this weekend have already hoisted the Lombardi Trophy. If it's me, I think I'm going Mahomes.
Okay.
I think I'm going, and there's no wrong answer.
No.
But you know what? A part of me,
I think some people might take Josh Allen over Brady right now.
I think I may.
Yeah.
I think I may.
Just with his, all the intangibles. Brady's still great, obviously.
Sure.
But he's not the same guy he was 5-6 years ago.
No. Okay,
we saw him in the regular season, but he could still get it done. I mean, I'm not knocking him for that, but so that's why I'm saying some guys, some people might look at it and say, no, give me the young guy with the, you know, the rocket arm and the guy that can move and,
yeah.
and you can get him on the run and he can escape the pocket, athletic guy, tough to bring down. Give me Josh Allen right now over Tom Brady.
Well, you know what? The fact that we're even having this conversation and doing it reasonably is a testament to the caliber of quarterbacks that will be playing this weekend. So I can't wait. And a quarterback that seems to be on the tip of everyone's tongue, and for good reason, Deshaun Watson.
Ooh.
The fact that a top-flight quarterback, whether you put him at the fifth-best quarterback or someone put him at – I saw someone put him at three, whether you put him at five, six, whatever, he's a unanimous top-ten guy, that's for sure. Rarely are these guys ever on the move, ever. Like, it just, and there's for good reason, right? These are the most prized possession in all of sports, a franchise quarterback. And this guy's 25 years old. It's not like Brady on the move at the end of his career or Phillip Rivers on the move at the end of his career. This guy's 25, still an ascending player. Best days are ahead of him, and he's already a top flight guy. And ESPN's Jeremy Fowler yesterday pulled anonymous pro personnel folks from around the league and put it out there that it was unanimous that acquiring Deshaun Watson in a trade would take at least three first-round picks. And it's okay. Kind of what we assumed, didn't we?
Yes. Yeah. Three, you know, probably plus, you know, okay, we're going to get your third-round pick in 2023, and we're going to get your, you know, second-round pick in 2000 and, you know, what plus probably on top of that. So probably not just three. Probably the three first, and then, you know, okay, we're going to switch our fifth round pick with your third round pick this year. Things like that, I think, is going to be like the little line yop.
Sure, sure. And then you start seeing the, you know, on social media or even here on the station, you know, how far would you be willing to go to get 25-year-old Deshaun Watson? First of all, he'd have to basically agree to come here. And we talked about this. He's got the no trade clause.
Right.
So he's got vetoing power here. If he were to agree to come to the Denver Broncos, would you give up, and I'm asking you,
yeah,
would you give up three first-round picks and Jerry Jeudy for Deshaun Watson?
Three first-round picks and Jerry Jeudy, okay? Yes, I would. I would do that. I would do that deal. I just think, you know, now we've got quarterback hopefully crossed off our list for the next decade. I like that. So I would do that deal. You know, it's a ninth pick this year, and then it just frees you up so much. You know, you don't have to entertain quarterback conversation. You don't have to, you know, oh man, are we going to go veteran guy? Are we going to go free agent? Are we going to go draft pick? You know, how are we going to move up? I mean. Shoot, I mean, if you want to move up to two or three, you're going to have to give up your first-round pick next year anyway.
That's right.
So, you know, it's just two more to get a known thing, right? A known at that position that you know he's good. So, yeah, I would do that. And, you know, I like our other wide receivers. We got Sutton coming back, and I think he'll make the other guys, you know, he'll make Tim Patrick, who's a solid wide receiver, he'll make him better. He'll make those types of guys, better around him. So yes, I would definitely do that. Definitely. I don't think that's for me, it's a no-brainer.
For you, it's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer. They come to you and say, hey, give us your three first-round picks and Jerry Jeudy, your next three first-round picks and Jerry Jeudy. I was like, okay, oh, yes, that's it. All right, perfect.
Right, right.
That's from my perspective there.
I mean,
that's how I view it. What do you say?
Well, I have a very same mindset because this is, when you bring in Deshaun Watson, this is I think I could safely say a decade-long proposal. I think you'd hope for longer. But 25 to 35, I think that's a super fair window. You know, you could say 15 years, but you're talking about someone up into their, you know, 40. So I'll say this is a decade-long proposal. With losing three potential players, and you know, these are first-round guys, so they're blue-chip guys, but also with the understanding that not all these guys work out the way that you want them to. Deshaun Watson is more of a known than any potential first-round pick, regardless of if those guys would go on and be all pros. And you're talking about the quarterback position. So in year four and in year five of Deshaun Watson, would you be looking back at those three first-round picks? Certainly not in year six and year seven. So for me, you use the word no-brainer. I don't know if I would use that type of verbiage, but this is something that I would absolutely agree to. And the range of opinions on even the RamosLaw.com text line right now as we're talking about this are so wide-ranging. I'll read you a couple texts here in a row. That's a big no for me. Someone else says, absolutely not. No way. The third text in a row, hell no, Zach. The fourth text, the answer absolutely is yes. The sixth consecutive text, bye, Jerry. So, and someone else says it's that third first rounder that pushes me away. And I get it. You know, when we talk about draft picks, they're so important to the lifeblood of your franchise. That's what the draft is. But at the same time, man, I don't think that you can overstate enough what having a franchise quarterback is. And do you agree that Deshaun Watson, that's another conversation that's happening here today on The Fan. Do you agree that Deshaun Watson is a franchise quarterback?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's not debatable. Yes. Yes.
What's your definition of a franchise quarterback?
That's a good question. I mean, a guy that can, that's going to be around for, you project him to be around for the next decade plus, and, he can put a team on his back and he can carry that team to victory week in and week out. Now, he didn't do it this year, but he has that type of ability to overcome, certain flaws, make players around him a lot better. And I think he has all of those things. So three first-round picks, you can have Judy. We'll throw in Drew Locke there, too. We don't need him anymore. So a little line out for you down there, Houston. There you go. I think, what people have to understand here, Zach, we don't have a quarterback right now, okay? And I think we can all agree that quarterback is the most important position in sports.
Yep.
If you don't have a quarterback in the NFL, it just makes it really difficult to win. Odds are against you competing for championships. Now, can you make it to the playoffs? Sure. But competing for championships year in and year out, that's not going to happen if you don't have that type of quarterback. So we are now searching for a quarterback going on, let's say, since 2016, right?
Yep.
16, 17, 18, 19, 5 years.
Yep.
5 years we've been looking for a quarterback.
The years are stacking up, aren't they?
They are. They are. And we both predicted this could happen when we started our show. Like, hey, y'all think it's bad right now? Just look at these other teams. We could be, 5, 6, 7, 8 years looking for a quarterback. We're 5 years into this thing.
Yep.
Okay? So, do you want to go down this road again? What's making you optimistic that all of a sudden we're going to find a quarterback? We've tried draft. We've tried free agency. We've tried early draft, late draft. We've tried big free agency. We've tried trade for free agency quarterback. I mean, we've tried everything here. It's been strikeout, 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 strikeout. So, it's a hard thing to do. It's not easy. And you say, hey, we're going to give you this guy. He's 25 years old. He's athletic. He can move. And he just makes players around him better. And he's a competitor. I don't want to be sitting here in 2025 talking to you saying, man, whew, we're still looking for a quarterback, Zach. But that's a possibility.
It's a real possibility.
It's not far-fetched.
Yep.
This thing's a coin flip.
Yep.
Whether you find a quarterback or not, and you can be as good as they are out there, you still need luck. You still need luck to be able to get those guys sometimes. I mean, you look at certain situations, and it's like, all right, the Chiefs still needed Mahomes to fall to 10 or 11 or whatever it was for them to trade up and get him.
That's right.
Right? The Texans needed Deshaun Watson to fall to the next pick for them to get him. So, there's luck involved with getting your guy. I'd rather not even play that game anymore. Right? Who cares about three first-round picks? We got a known commodity at that position. and he's only 25. I think that's really, the more I talk about it, the more I talk myself into, yeah, it's definitely a no-brainer.
Yeah, you know what? I agree with you. I do. And for the folks that, look, if you get your first rounders right, you're going to be headed in the right direction. But, I mean, look at some of the first rounders that have got picked here in the last decade. You know, guys like Sylvester Williams and Bradley Roby and Shane Ray and, you know, Paxton Lynch. I mean, some of these guys, you know, legitimately, a couple of those guys literally aren't in the league anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's because it's not an exact science and there's no promise that these guys will work out. And you do, like, my going back to my question to you, what's your definition of a franchise quarterback? Mm-hmm. I think mine is, you know, I heard Joe Klatt use the frame confetti test. Like, can you close your eyes and you know, picture that guy getting showered in confetti raising the Lombardi Trophy? And with Deshaun Watson, for me, absolutely I could see that scenario. Of course I could. And, you know, I know that this past year was kind of an anomaly. Last year with Deshaun Watson as a starter, he went 10-5 as a starter. He missed a game, but he went
2 years ago.
2019.
Yeah.
We're going to do this again.
I had to.
The 2019 season, he's 10-5. The 2018 season, he's 11-5. That was just his second year in the league. His first year in the league went 3-3 and had, I think it was an ACL, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
so you know, this year, you know, if you quote his career record and you say, well, he's 28-25, and that's what it is. If you want to say that's fair. But I'm looking at this past season as an anomaly, that everything around him was crashing down.
That's right.
They traded his a star receiver.
Yep.
Their defense was just
got fired.
Horrific. Yeah. So
their defense was flat out awful. I think the worst rush defense against the rush in the league. I mean, they were terrible. So look, a lot of things didn't go well for Houston this year. And sometimes it's more than just stats, right? I don't need to know all the stats. My eye test tells me this guy is a stud. And if it just takes 3 first round picks and you want to throw in Jerry Jeudy, that's fine because this guy's just entering his prime. I mean, did he lead the league in passing yards? Or
I believe he did. He threw for over 4,800 yards. He threw 33 touchdowns and just 7 picks. I mean, think about that.
Come on now. Come on.
3
first-round picks?
33.
You're not going to miss those things.
Stoke, that's almost a 5-1 touchdown-to-interception ratio. And you put him with Cortland Sutton and K.J. Hamler and Noah Fant. And you got
Albert O.
Yeah, Albert O. You got a franchise left tackle. You got a right tackle coming back into the fold. A center that was, you know, just named to the all rookie team.
Offensive
line, it's a solid group. So, you know,
should be better next year too.
It should be even better. This should be this coming season.
Couple nice running backs, hopefully.
Yeah,
both back.
Yeah. So, look, I mean, I understand if folks want to go about it with the slow build. I really do. If you say, look, I just want to, you know, I want to accumulate picks. I want to put good players in place. You don't sound foolish to me. I'm just on the other side of this one. I just think that if the Broncos were able to pull this off, it would be a grand slam, an absolute grand slam. And, you know, when you look at the odds, and we'll go over them here shortly in a few minutes, but you look at the odds, the Broncos are right there. You know, with the top, you know, 4 or 5 teams that could potentially land Deshaun Watson. So it's not crazy talk here. You know, when you have Schefter doubling down saying this is a real thing, when you have, you know, Mortensen saying that he has someone in a circle saying that the problem isn't Easterby, the problem's, you know, Cal McNair, the owner. There is a real scenario that this could go down, and it's not absurd to think that the Broncos could be a potential landing spot for Deshaun Watson.
So, no, I mean, especially if you're Deshaun Watson, you're looking at the situation, and like you said earlier, he has veto power. So, you know, he has a no-trade clause, so he can, you know, say, no, I don't want to go there. So when you're looking at certain situations, obviously the Dolphins one's very intriguing because they got a, you know, better football team than the Broncos. That one's intriguing for them, I'm sure. The Jets, not so much. But the Broncos have to be right up there if you're Deshaun Watson. When you look at, okay, young talent on the offensive side of the football, all right, you're probably Dolphins, and then you're probably looking at the Broncos right there next.
I agree with you. I agree with you. It's something that we got to keep our eye on here over the next, you know, month or two. Don't know the timetable on this thing. All right, I want
to man to get that type of guy.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine the excitement around here if Deshaun Watson touchdown at Centennial?
Oh.
And you pair him with these offensive pieces.
He's not going to DIA?
He's not going to DIA.
No, no.
He's going to Centennial.
Yeah, yeah. We're flying him into Centennial.
That's right. Walking right out of that jet, right into the limo.
There you go.
Come on.
There
even me
is.
Just saying that.
Oh,
getting
let's go.
Excited.
I mean, look, who wouldn't want to do that? I mean, what if you don't want to do it, what are you waiting for? Like, you know, like, hey, we're trying to accumulate draft picks for what? To try to find a quarterback.
Right, well, right,
if you
right.
found a quarterback, there you go. Yeah, that's crossed off the list, and then you're accumulating picks, and you don't even know if you're going to be able to find one.
Right.
This guy, we know. He's a known commodity. He is really, really good. He can take this offense to the next level. Who has liked watching Broncos offensive football the last 5 years, post-Super Bowl?
Oh,
post-Manning.
I can't believe you just brought that up.
Why?
Because last night at the kitchen table, I got to grinding, Stoke.
Oh.
I got to grinding.
You did.
I did, and I have some really interesting information to share with our audience. I think you're really going to like it. I'll just call my shot. I think you are personally really going to like it. So hold on. Let's table the Deshaun Watson conversation for now because there's interesting
comments.
You were
at the kitchen table grinding.
Yes, I was.
What were you sipping on?
Yeah. Interesting comments from Mike and Mark on the Deshaun Watson stuff from this morning. It may surprise you or it may not. I have the odds on Deshaun Watson. We'll get to it. But first, the Broncos have a long way to go in a massively important category. We'll take a dive into it next.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
A fascinating conversation about Deshaun Watson. Just flat out fascinating. We, like, I swear to God, we ended up talking about it here all through the break. Just naturally reacting to it. And
who?
We here. Me, Richie, John.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I asked
yeah.
you. Yeah, I didn't know who you were referring to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Roz, you know, jumping in too. Judging by the reaction on the RamosLaw.com text line.
Roz, you made it back in time. You guys can talk.
This is dividing a room here. This is dividing
really?
A room. Yes. And it, you know, for you to say this would be a no-brainer, three firsts, you know, and you fill in the blank for Deshaun Watson. You are being called all types of names for having that approach, and then
really?
You're also
good names or bad names.
But what kinds do you think? and then you have other people.
The kind I'm used to being called. Yeah, I like that. You know, it's Thursday. Let's go.
And then you know, and then you have other people saying that I saw a RamosLaw.com text that said anyone who is saying no to this deal should be banned from the text line for life.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is dividing a room, all right? And we'll get back to it because there's a couple follow-up questions that I just am really intrigued by, and I want to bounce them off of you. But first, I said going into the break that the Broncos have a long way to go in a massively important category. And that is simply the offensive side of the football and scoring points in a league where that type of currency is more valued in today's game than ever before in the history of this sport. Quarterbacks have always, you know, been considered, you know, massively important. But the quarterback and scoring points at the level that the teams are scoring in today's day and age, it's everything, Stoke. It's everything. And I want to bounce some information off of you here. All right? Not to get too far into the weeds here. But did you realize that the Kansas City Chiefs are the lowest scoring team left in these playoffs?
Wow. Didn't realize that.
I mean, just right on its face, that took me back. All right? They're the lowest scoring team left in the playoffs. All right? But even Kansas City averages about 5 points per game better than the league average. This is the first time in NFL history that all four conference championship game teams average at least 5 points better than the league average. Typically, there's a team with a great defense that is here, that has a good enough offense, but a really awesome defense. That is not the case this time around. We have never seen all four teams average what they're averaging better than the rest of the field. On the defensive side of the ball, Stoke, it's a different story. This is the first time in NFL history that all of the final four teams have allowed over 350 points. This is the first time ever that the final four, where none of those defenses finished at least 3 points per game better than average. So I know that I'm, you know, the way that I'm wording it here, it can come across as a little convoluted. But basically what I'm saying is here that it's the great offenses that are making it this far down the road. And you could say, well, maybe it's just this year. Maybe it's just this year. Take a look at the 2019 conference game teams, the conference championship game teams, the final four, essentially. Last year, it was the San Francisco 49ers. That was the second best scoring offense in the league. It was KC. They were the fifth best scoring offense. It was the Titans. They were in the top 10. And it was the Packers, who were 15th. I went back and looked at 2018. 2018 was stunning. Kansas City was the number one scoring offense. The Rams were the second best scoring offense. The Saints were the third best scoring offense. And the Patriots were the fourth best scoring offense. Literally, the top four in points per game all were the teams playing on championship weekend. You go back 2017. The Patriots were tied for the second best scoring offense. Who were they tied with? The Eagles, who were also playing on championship weekend. We talk about the Jags and how good that defense was that year when they were playing on championship weekend. I didn't realize they were the fifth highest scoring offense in the league that year.
Wow.
And it was the Vikings on the Minnesota Miracle, that team with Case Keenum. They were the 10th highest scoring offense in the league. So of the last 16 teams to play on championship weekend, 12 of those 16 were top five in points per game. And only one of those 16 teams was not a top 10 offense. And that was the Packers last year. And they still, right there in the middle of the field.
Yeah, and usually that means you have to have a quarterback to kind of go back to Deshaun Watson conversation.
That's right.
And the NFL is becoming more and more geared towards offensive football, throwing the ball. That's where the rules are set up for. Like you mentioned earlier in the season, Zach, when you had the stats about holding. Holding calls were down.
Yep.
And so across the board this past year, defensive backs can't touch wide receivers, or it's a 50-yard pass interference call. Everything is geared, if you hit a guy anywhere by the head, he's a defenseless player, it's contact to the head, it's a 15-yard penalty, automatic first down, those yep. types of things. This game is geared towards scoring points and throwing the football and having success throwing the football. So, and if you can't do it in today's game, it's hard to just play old school football nowadays. Now you can, but it's the rules and the way that the game is going. It's designed for a team to take advantage of that. For teams to take advantage of that. If you're not taking advantage of the rules and how the NFL is set up right now, then shame on you, I guess. But it's set up to score points, score a lot of points, and to throw the football.
100%. And I think we all need to acknowledge that. And I know the way that the Broncos were trying to build this thing, the way that John Elway was trying to build this thing in recent memory, you're hoping to hit the Powerball, building it that way. Now, every 10 years, someone's going to win a Super Bowl like that. But in the other nine, those quarterbacks are Pro Bowls, All Pros, and a lot of times, Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
Peyton Manning as your quarterback.
Right.
It wasn't his best year. We all know that, but you still had him, manning the ship.
Good point.
And real quick, Zach, I just want to throw this on top. Now, the running game is still, important part of football, though, right? And it's still important. Offensive line and protecting your quarterback and being able to run the football. Yes, that is still very, very important. But man, the passing game, everything is set up to, take advantage of that and do it through the air.
Yep. Nope. It's that's the reality of the situation. Like when I say to you, going through the numbers last night, that 12 of the last 16 teams playing on championship weekend are top five offenses. Like that's where the Broncos need to go. And that's where they haven't been. This past season, the Broncos finished 28th in points per game. Bottom five offense. What did they rank in 2019? 28th. Bottom five offense in 2019. 24th in 2018. Bottom 10 offense. 27th in 2017. Bottom 10 offense. 22nd in 2016. Bottom 10 offense. Even back in 2015, they were inside the top 20, but at 19. But since 2016, the Broncos have been one of the 10 worst offenses in football. So you take a look at who the Broncos have been and then contrast it with who is winning in this league. It just goes to illustrate how far the Broncos have to go on that side of the football. And all of these conversations lead back to the quarterback.
Exactly. And you have people saying, no, I wouldn't trade 3 first-round picks for Deshaun Watson. Really? I mean, look at those stats. Do you want to continue that down that road? And do you want to come back here in 5 years and say, man, we've swung and missed for 5 straight years at the quarterback position. We still haven't found one. Well, I mean, is that what you want? That's not what I want. So, I mean, all those stats you just gave me, I mean, it just backs up, you know, how I feel even more so about if you had a chance to give up 3 first-round picks and a Jerry Jeudy or whoever else, really, to get a guy like Deshaun Watson. That's really, just a no-brainer.
Yep. And more often than not, you go back and look at the Super Bowl champions over the last 30 years, 40 years, the winning quarterback, usually, not always. You got your Nick Foles, you got your Joe Flaccos. But usually, they're literally Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Usually. Patrick Mahomes, well on his way. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Russell Wilson, Eli Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Big Ben. And, like, it's over and over and over again. So, going back to this conversation.
And if you're not,
yeah,
you have to play like you are. And Joe Flacco had one of the best postseasons in the history of the NFL that year. And we saw it. And what he was able to do versus us here in Denver, and then the following week versus the Patriots, and then the following week versus the 49ers was remarkable. I mean, it's historic.
Zero interceptions.
Best,
yep.
Right. It's one of the best postseason performances ever. So, like, if you're not a Hall of Fame quarterback, you probably played really special. Nick Foles, I mean, how hot did he get?
Sizzling.
And how great did he play during the postseason run for the Eagles? You gotta have special, special quarterback play, usually.
That's a great point. It's fascinating here.
It is. It really is. But the way the game is going, the game is made to score points, and to score points quickly. So why not take advantage of it? It doesn't take away the running game, though. Look, I mean, running game is a big part of it. I mean, Tampa last week started running the ball really well against the Saints, and that opened up the passing game for them. But I think where this game is going and the direction that we're moving with the rules and how everything is set up, it's set up to take, and you want to take advantage of it if you're an offense.
That's
And that's through the air. So, but you got to have a quarterback.
Got to have a quarterback. Can't fly without a plane. You got to have a quarterback. And by the way, let me just take a second to pat myself on the back because in this business, no one else will do it for me. After week 3 of the NFL season, I came in here on this show and made a prediction about the sack leaders in this league this year. Do you remember what it was? I said, I think at the end of this season, you are going to see the season sack leaders at a lower total than you've seen in years because of the holding that wasn't being called. And if you look at the season sack leaders from 2019, Shaq Barrett, 19.5 sacks, led the league. 15 did it this year. 4.5 sacks behind year over year. who was second in the league in 2019? Chandler Jones, 19 sacks. Aaron Donald was second this year with 13 and a half. The massive year over year in sack totals because the NFL officials made a conscious decision to not call holding at the same rate. It was frustrating NFL fans. That number got cut in half year over year. And because of that, defensive players did not have the same success getting to the quarterback.
You did say that. I'm patting you on the back right now, buddy.
Thank you. Good call.
Yep, patting you on the back. Double pat.
But it just goes back to the conversation of this.
Where did Shaq Barrett finish this year? What did he finish?
Shaq.
Like how many sacks did he have this
Shaq
year?
Shaq Barrett this year, I believe, finished with like 8. Hold on, let me pull it up here.
Just check on that.
Yeah, I will.
Because you named the number last year, you know, his number he had last year. So I was just like, I know he didn't have close to the year that he had the year before, but I was just kind of curious of where he finished with sacks. But you're right. You know, when you look at the holding calls being down, you look at the pass interference calls, all that's geared towards offensive football. So you want to take advantage of it. But you need a quarterback to take advantage of it. And you look at who is playing right now when, you know, in the most important game for the AFC and for the NFC, it's four just studs.
Yep. It's literally the three quarterbacks who are going to finish 1, 2, 3 in MVP voting. Aaron Rodgers is going to win it. Mahomes is going to come in second. And Josh Allen's going to come in third. And I wouldn't be surprised if Brady finishes fourth. So, and by the way,
I was going to look. No chance Brady finishes
okay,
fourth.
Fifth,
no,
sixth?
No, he's not on the list.
Okay. Shaq Barrett went from 19 and a half sacks to 8.
Yeah. So, you know, you're not, but I just remember all the rumblings last year about, you know, everybody was in an uproar. How did they let Shaq Barrett go? You know, this and that. And you really don't hear that this year.
Yeah, still a productive year.
Yeah, a productive year, but it wasn't, you know, an all-pro Pro Bowl type of year.
Right. Brady's not going to be on the list, huh? You don't think for MVP?
How many guys will be on the list? I'm not expecting it to be. If it's 5 or under, no. I mean, Tom didn't have a good regular season.
Did he?
What?
Did he?
Dude. Remember him, dude, you remember him holding up 4?
Yeah.
Do you remember him just lobbing the ball to?
Yeah. Stoke, that was one quarter of his season total. He threw 12 interceptions all season. You want any touchdown passes he threw?
How many?
Take a guess.
32.
40.
40.
He threw 40 touchdowns this season.
He's not on the list. Threw for over
4,600 yards and had the Bucs in the playoffs at 11-5 for the first time in like a decade. He's on the list.
He's not top five.
Oh, you want to make a bet?
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay.
Well, think about it.
Who would finish after?
I don't know. That's what.
After Rodgers, right. Mahomes, and Josh Allen. Who's fourth on that list? You convinced
Aaron
me.
Donald?
You convinced me after 4 weeks it was Russell Wilson, and I'm going to have to pay up for it.
Mm. Not as much as me, buddy.
I know.
Trust me. It hurts me a lot more than it hurts you. I mean, what happened to Russell Wilson?
Dude.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Let me think here. No, this wasn't after week 4, Zach. That was like after week 8.
Whatever.
Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't early. I mean, this was like halfway through the season, and he was just playing on a whole nother level. Anyway, could Aaron Donald sneak in there?
Maybe.
Who else? What receivers had really? Stephon Diggs. Derrick Henry needs to be on the list.
Yeah, Derrick Henry needs
to be on the list for sure. I'd put him in front of Tom Brady.
You'd put Derrick Henry in front of Tom Brady?
Oh,
40
yes.
touchdown passes.
Yes.
11-5 for a Bucs team.
Yes. Yeah. No. I'm not sitting there knocking Tom Brady today. I'm not going to do that. I didn't realize he had that good of a year because all my thoughts of Tom Brady were just some bad plays this year, right?
Right.
So, you know, and I didn't watch him week in and week out.
Especially
yeah, he had
early.
Some moments, some bad
pick sixes.
The Rams game.
Saints game.
The Saints. The Saints game. Oh, my goodness. Remember that game where they ran the at Tampa where they ran the ball, I think, 5 times the whole
yes,
game?
Yes. Good memory.
They were really, really bad that football game. The Bears game. So, I mean, there was just some moments there that just But overall, I guess you're right. I mean, so he could be top five, I guess. He could.
I think it's reasonable to project. Yeah. I think it's reasonable to project he could finish in the top five.
I didn't realize his numbers were that good.
Yeah. Pretty wild. Derrick Henry being a 2,000-yard rusher, there hasn't been too many of those. So he's.
That's what I'm saying. I think I got him in front of Brady.
That's fair. And the Titans were terrific this year again. So that's totally fair. I think Brady finishes fifth. If he doesn't finish fifth, it'll be sixth. But going back, the reason I said that is, I mean, look at the quarterbacks who are playing this weekend.
Yep.
They're going to finish 1, 2, 3 and fifth or sixth in MVP voting.
And it could be fourth. I mean,
it could be.
Yeah.
It could be. So
you got to have one, man. I mean, that's the facts. You got to have one. You just do. If not, you know, all of a sudden, it's already hard enough to win a Super Bowl. Your odds are going to, you know, you'll probably be, you know, in the teens,
right,
percentage-wise.
Right.
Just where your odds go.
Right.
If you don't have that guy, you better have historic something else. And so it's you got to find it. And if there's one available, you go try to get that guy. And
look at the teams, forget championship weekend. Just look at all the teams with winning records this year. It's you know, even that aren't playing on championship weekend, like the Steelers, who have a Hall of Fame quarterback and were 12-4. Who else had a winning record that isn't playing this weekend? The Saints, you know, Hall of Fame quarterback. The Seahawks, Russell Wilson, awesome. The Rams, you know, number one pick, Jared Goff, who's already played in a Super Bowl. So, you know, even just to flirt with the conversation, you got to have one. So, all right, fun conversation. Fun conversation there. I haven't even looked at the RamosLaw.com text line. I'll do that here during the break and maybe read some of the responses that stick out. But, Stoke, there's something that's going to be different that's taking place during Broncos games in 2021 that wasn't happening in 2020. This is in the game. Mm. All right? I'll tell you what it is next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.